Well, hello everyone. This is Donna Parteau welcoming you to the 90-Day Renewal in Spirit, Soul, and Body. And together we're studying my book, Becoming the Woman I Want to Be, A 90-Day Journey to Renewing Spirit, Soul, and Body. And so good to have you with us today. I do need to apologize. I am actually feeling 1,000 times better than I was after my recent trip to Latin America. Those of you who know me know that I came back quite ill. Was it the swine flu? I don't know. Doctor says he wasn't quite sure. It was certainly a flu and some other stuff going on with me. I actually feel really, really good, but I do have this lingering cough. So I just have to apologize up front. It's kind of been on a roll this morning, and so if it shows up, all I can say is so sorry. My voice is also just a tiny bit crackly, but I'm excited about the lesson today. Going to have some fun things, some interesting things, and also perhaps some very challenging things, some things that may be very hard to hear. And so I'm definitely going to open in prayer and ask God to be with us and to just give us his grace to hear those things that I believe he's given me to share with you today. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Well, our gracious Father, we thank you so much that you look upon us as more than just servants, although we do desire to be your servants here upon the earth. But you view us as friends. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. But it's even better than that. Not only are we here as your servants, your ambassadors, your representatives, not only are we friends of God, it says in your word that we're your children. That we, each and every one of us, we are daughters of the King Most High, and we are your children. And so even as we are wives and mothers and friends and fulfill all these other roles in the natural, even in the supernatural, it seems that there are different roles for us, that we are representatives, we are ambassadors, we are friends of God, we are children of God. And I pray that we would walk that out with great joy and great confidence. God, I ask you today to give me great grace as I share on a topic that's very practical, but also very personal. And I know it's something that women really struggle with, especially in Western cultures, and that is the issue of reaching and maintaining a healthy weight. And so I pray that you give me grace and wisdom and balance to deliver this message effectively. And I ask that in the name of our King and for the sake of his kingdom. Amen. Well, the first thing that I want to talk about in the area of weight loss is that it really begins with motivation. What is your motivation? People often ask, what diet program works? And the answer is simply this: no diet works, and every diet works. No diet works, and every diet works. You see, if you have the motivation, you can make the grapefruit diet work, where all you eat is grapefruit. I mean, it's probably not very healthy for you, but if your goal is just to lose weight, any diet will work. Or no diet will work. You could buy the most elaborate, they ship it to your door, there's this one, I looked, I had this information, but I don't know where I put it. Anyway, it was thousands. Of like $17,000, just some ridiculous amount of money. And it was in New York City. And each day, like, they delivered food made by the chef that day, like having a personal chef, like Oprah. Again, how can Oprah not maintain her weight? She has a personal chef, a personal trainer. She's a billionaire. Somewhere the motivation component is getting lost for Oprah. And then she gains and loses and gains and loses and gains and loses. And that's my story. Is that your story? Yo-yo dieting. I mean, when did this start? We gain and we lose and we gain and we lose and we gain and we lose. And I truly believe that this is an issue, again, it's an issue of the soul. And when you have your motivation in place, when you have your why too, and your determination, I think you can make any diet work. Now, am I saying that any diet plan is good as another? No. No, not at all, because I think that our goal is more than to lose weight and be a certain size. If all it mattered was for us to be a size zero, then we could do what the supermodels do, be bulimic and anorexic. But that's not our goal. So even though we're talking about weight loss, what I'm saying to you is weight loss is not a worthy goal. A worthy goal is to live a long and healthy life as God intends. That's a worthy goal. So really, weight loss is not the goal. It's part of a means to an end. And our motivation is the key. What's your motive? What's your why to? Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want to be healthy? That's the real issue at stake here. And I truly believe if you can get a passionate vision for the why to and get your motivation in place and then couple that with a healthy eating plan, look out world. You will absolutely succeed. I want to start with your God, because I think that needs to be our first motivation. Our motivation is because we love God, and we want to give the world an accurate reflection of this God that we serve. And we know that our God is not sick and tired. We know that our God is not depressed. We know that our God doesn't feel bad about himself all day long. Okay? We want to give the world an accurate reflection of the kind of God that we've devoted our lives to. And so that's a huge part of it. And we want to honor him on this earth. And we want to make the most of the life that he's given us. We want to be able to stand before him someday and say, you know what, God? I did all that you put before me. Jesus was able to say in speaking to the Father, I have completed the work you gave me to do. I've completed the work. Wow. Did Jesus do everything that could conceivably have been done upon the earth? No, I mean, he only traveled in one little area of the world. I mean, the whole planet needed his message. But he completed the work that the Heavenly Father gave him to do upon the earth. And that's all we need to do. We don't need to do everything that could conceivably be done in the world. We just need to be faithful to complete the work that God has assigned to us. And that's very unique and very personal. We want to stand before God someday and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You completed the assignments that I gave you. And I'm going to be very bold today. I mean, because I am very bold. And I believe that God made me the way I am for a reason. He made me bold. And so here it is. I do not believe that someone who is chronically overweight and depressed about it, chronically overweight to an extent that they can't do the things that they want to do for God, for themselves, for their family. And it may just be emotional. I'm going to talk about Jessica Simpson in a minute. Now, I don't think anybody could look at her, even at her, quote, heaviest weight, and say, wow, you know, she looks awful. I mean, she's beautiful. She's beautiful. Even at, what, a size 14, she's still gorgeous. This is not about being a size zero. It's about you feeling good about being at a healthy weight for you, healthy in spirit, soul, and body. And if you are healthy in spirit, soul, and body and a size 14, God bless you. God bless you. Healthy in spirit, soul, and body does not always mean size zero. So let's just be clear about that. Our goal is not a specific size, but I do believe we need to be within the body mass index. If you search body mass index or BMI on my website, that should come up. It's also included in your copy of the book, Becoming the Woman I Want to Be. There's a chart in there. As long as you're within the healthy range, then you're fine. Don't torment yourself. But anyway, we want to be healthy in our body so that we can serve God energy and vigor and with self-confidence. This is what I'm trying to communicate. With self-confidence. When you feel bad about yourself, you are not going to get up and be bold and do the things that God is calling you to do. You just won't. You'll stay home. You're like, oh, who's going to listen to me? I can't teach a Bible class. I can't have a Bible study in my home. I can't. I mean, I'd love to see hundreds of you with small groups of women in your home or local church teaching them the 90-day renewal and sharing it with others. But something tells me that there are a lot of women who could and should be doing that who are holding back because they're like, oh, no one's going to listen to me. I'm not where I need to be. Okay, let me share these verses I've written down. 1 Corinthians 9. All of these are from 1 Corinthians. Paul was really on this message here. Chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, he said this, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Well, we're in a race. Are we running? Or at least walking, I hope. But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, Paul says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. He has a plan. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I think I've shared this before, but when I was training last year, I was training for a 5K. That's like a 3-mile something run for my birthday, which is in December. And my motto, as I was running, kind of in rhythm, I'd be, I beat my body and make it my slave. I beat my body and make it my slave. I beat my body and make it my slave. Sisters, we need to understand something about the context in which Paul was writing this. Okay. When he talks about the games, he's talking about games wherein you had two opponents enter the ring and only one left alive. Do you understand this? The loser was dead. That was the idea of a Greek game. The boxers, the wrestlers, they stepped into that ring knowing someone was going to win and someone was going to die. I mean, you think boxing today is brutal? They had nails in the gloves. They had shards of broken glass in the gloves and tore the flesh off of their opponent. This was serious. If you've got the stomach for it, go watch The Gladiator. That's the kind of, quote, games that Paul is talking about. Now, listen to me, sisters. If you knew that a month from now, a week from now, whatever, you were going to step into the ring to compete in that kind of a competition, how serious would you be about your training? If you understood, listen, I'm going into that ring a month from now, whatever, 2 months from now. And I'm going to fight literally for my life, and someone is going to win, and someone is going to die. How serious do you think that that person would be about their training? This is what Paul is talking about in this passage. He's saying, sisters, that's the kind of intensity that we as believers need to have. The kind of intensity that says, this is do or die. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase of the scripture, the message, absolutely gets the passage right, where he says, in the NIV it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the principalities. Eugene Peterson says, and I'm paraphrasing his paraphrase maybe here, we are in a life and death battle to the finish. That is what the Bible's talking about. A life and death struggle to the finish. That's what we're in here. You may say, well, it's not life and death for me, Donna. It is life and death for a dying world. Sisters, if we don't set the example, and I'm not saying being perfect. You guys know this by now. But if we don't go out into the arena of life with an intensity of purpose and saying, listen, I'm sitting here in the food court, or I'm sitting here at the library, or I'm sitting here at my daughter's PTA meeting, and there is a life and death fight to the finish going on in the lives of the people in this room, and somebody's going to walk out of this room to their death unless I am an effective ambassador of Jesus Christ to the people around me. Again, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm telling you, this is what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying to us, listen, people are dying. There's a battle being waged on this earth. And every day, people are dying and going to hell. Now, I'm not trying to be like a shock jock today, but I have friends right now who are in Pattaya, Thailand. Mark and Rennie, I traveled with them in Turkey. They're just dear, precious friends, partners in ministry. Right now, they're in Pattaya. And they reported that in Pattaya, I think it was just this past week, three men were arrested for purchasing a two-month-old for sex. People, there's only one reason why people go to Pattaya, Thailand, to buy sex. And the people they're buying, most of them have been sold into the sex trade by their own family. Some mother sold her two-month-old to three men to have sex with. Somebody's going to get this. I mean, we are in a life and death battle on this earth. And Paul says we need to be in strict training. You want to know why? I want to beat my body and make it my slave so that when I wake up this morning and I spent all weekend weeping over England. All weekend. I could not stop crying about England. And I woke up this morning and there's an email. It says, Donna, we're having a youth conference in London with 2,300 people and our speaker canceled this weekend. Can you come? It's a month from now. You know what I say? Yep. Getting on the plane and going. And I want to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. I want to be like Corrie ten Boom. Led more people to Christ between 80 and 90 than the rest of her life combined because she was healthy and she could do it. I want to go to Pattaya, Thailand when I'm 70, when I'm 80. I want to run a long, strong race. That's what weight loss is. That's the motivation for weight loss. Because is anybody getting this? The reason why you want to lose weight is because you want to be at your fighting weight. Somebody better write that down. I want to be at my fighting weight. The wrestlers and boxers always have to be at their fighting weight. I want to be at my fighting weight. Somebody write that one down. Because I want to fight against the evil in this world. And I want to have the energy and the strength and the self-confidence, healthy God confidence, to go out into the world, get up off my couch and go into the world with boldness, to stand up and be counted. See, some of you don't want to be noticed. How can you stand up and be counted for Jesus when you want to just blend into the wall and not even be noticed because you feel so bad about where you are right now? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Again, being very bold today, does your body honor God? That's what Paul's saying. Are you at your fighting weight? Are you honoring God with your body? You belong to him. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? Now, this verse, I don't even know. I'm not going to teach on it. I'm just going to let it out there. If anyone, now, Paul is writing to Christians. This letter is addressed to the church, to the Christians at Corinth. Spirit-filled, the church, man. It was like the go-to church. He said to these Christians in a letter, in writing, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Ouch! I mean, the only word I have for that is ouch. I can't even add anything other than ouch and tell you that he was writing to Christians when he said it. Wow, I don't know how that fits in with the contemporary teaching of grace, 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 because I do believe in grace. But maybe the grace, grace, grace is that God gives us the grace to become the women that he would have us be. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Because we have the promises and the grace of God. Did anybody get that? Because we have the promises of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit empowering and enabling and energizing us. Because Jesus did it all and paid it all on the cross. All that he is and all that he has is available to us. By his stripes, we are healed in spirit, soul, and body. And all we have to do is get on our knees and cry out to him and say, God, I need your grace to empower me to live the way you're calling me to live. I cannot do this on my own. And yet it is a command to us as Christians. Purify yourself. It's not something that someone else can do for you. You've got to make a decision. I'd encourage you to get a photo of you at your very best and put it up somewhere you can see it. We're moving on. Our motivation, God and serving him. Now I want to talk about you. You being the motivation. I want you to get a picture of you at your fighting weight and put it up on your refrigerator. Put it up somewhere that you can see it. Or maybe you want to get photos from a magazine. Now, don't take photos of supermodels who are also photoshopped. I have a poster with a bunch of photos over my nightstand. So I see it first thing in the morning when I wake up and before I go to bed at night. And it's a woman in a long skirt walking on a beach. She's fit. She's trim. And, like, that's what you all know by now. I want to live on a beach. Okay? And she's walking on the beach, and I'm like, that's who I want to be. I don't want to be body beautiful and perfect, but I want to be able to walk on the beach, fit and trim with a nice long skirt. Life is good. You have to want it for you. Who do you want to be for you? See, I can only speak for, I've only ever been one person, and that's me. And I can tell you, after my father died, I've been very open about this, I was completely out of control. That whole season of my life was incredibly difficult. Those years of like 2005, 2006, that whole season in there, for a lot of reasons, was incredibly difficult. And I gained 30 pounds. And I felt so bad about myself. And it wasn't that I thought God loved me less. It was that I could not be and do all that I wanted to do and be when I felt so bad about myself. I'm like, this is not who I want to be. I only had one skirt left that I could fit. I woke up in the morning, look in the closet, I'm like, okay, I can't fit any of it. Finally, you know what I did? I took out everything that didn't fit me. And there was like, I had some shirts and one skirt. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty lean. So for you, who do you want to be for you? And then for your children. Let your children be your motivation. You are setting an example for them. The way you eat, the way you care for your, I mean, it's not a guarantee. My kids drink soda. I don't know. I don't drink soda. Let me put it this way. They're not going to rise any higher than the example that you set, right? But research bears it out. Research absolutely bears it out that children imitate and certainly don't rise above the lifestyle that they see their parents. Oh, it's genes. You see, two overweight parents and their lineup of overweight children. It's lifestyle. It's not genetics. And some of us need to love our children enough to say, you know what? I'm going to live a healthy lifestyle and get to a healthy weight because I want to set a positive example for my children. And I want my children to look at me and say, wow, my mom is determined. My mom set a goal for herself and she set out and she achieved it. I want my children to be proud of their mommy in a healthy way. I love that my children say to me, mommy, we like that you take care of yourself. Both of my daughters tell me that. Mommy, we're so glad that, of course, kids are embarrassed of their parents. That's kind of what they go through, especially daughters embarrassed of their moms. But, you know, they'll say to me, like, mommy, we like the fact that we don't have to be embarrassed about our mommy, that you look nice and you take care of yourself. Yeah, not that I'm a supermodel, because I'm not, and I'd actually like to lose 5 pounds myself. But it's a self-respect. And the children appreciate that, and we model things for them. And then also, our children are going to have children. And then we become, don't we want to be there to support them? My children, their great-great-grandfather is 105 years old and still there. Now, of course, he doesn't come in like babysit or anything, but he's a role model. He's positive. He's happy. He's productive. He knows their name. He knows what they're doing at 105. Don't we want to be there for our children, for our children's children, for our children's children's children? Well, one of the leading predictors of longevity is maintaining a healthy weight. I'll say it again. One of the leading predictors of longevity is maintaining a healthy weight. So if you can't get motivated to maintain your fighting weight for your God, and you can't get motivated to maintain your fighting weight for you, maybe you get motivated for your children and say, you know what? I want to be the woman that God wants me to be, not just for God, not just for me, but I want it for my kids. I want it for my kids. I want to be there to support them when they have children. I want to be there to support my grandchildren when they have children. I want to be active and healthy. I don't want to be the grandma who's not involved because my whole life is involved with going to the doctor because I didn't live a healthy life. And now the last one. Now this is when it gets dangerous, sisters. This is going to be hard for some of you to hear. But I'm going to share it because God brought it into my life. And I believe that he brought it into my life because he wants me to impart it. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. And I just believe when God teaches me, it's for me to teach others. And so here, now, you're not going to like this. It's going to be painful. If you can't get motivated for your God, for yourself, for your children, maybe you'll get motivated for your spouse. I'm going to start with Jessica Simpson. I read a book and then I saw an article about Jessica Simpson that completely tied in with what I was reading in the book. And I don't make it a habit of reading tabloids, but the headline was exactly what God was showing me to share with you. So I picked up, my daughter was getting her hair cut, and I picked up the tabloid, and it's Why Jessica Simpson Lost Tony Romo. She was on the verge of being engaged to star quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, arguably one of the most beautiful women in America. Talent, beauty, a figure to die for. Even at her, quote, heaviest, she was voluptuous. I mean, most men are not looking for skin and bones. I mean, most men like a little bit of a figure there. But you want to know why it said why she lost this handsome quarterback, one of the most beautiful women in America? Couldn't keep her man. Said she drove him away with her insecurity about her weight. And so I want to say this first. And the book said the same thing. If there's one thing that will drive a man absolutely out of his mind, it's a woman who goes on and on about how much she hates her body and hates the way she looks. And I'm the worst at this. I mean, I can remember being 114 pounds and hating my thighs and talking about it, talking about how much I hated my thighs at 114. Men just cannot stand this constant complaining and dissatisfaction with our body image. And she literally, absolutely beautiful woman, drove away the man of her dreams. Not because she put on a few pounds. They interviewed all his friends and they're like, yeah, he thought she looked great. She drove him away because if she was not happy with her appearance, this is what I want you to get. If she was not happy with her appearance, she needed to either do something about it and or keep her mouth shut about it. I'll make it personal. If you are not happy with your appearance, even if your husband thinks you look terrific, and even if the whole country looks at you and thinks, I wish I looked that good. If you are discontent, and you feel in your heart, this is not a weight that I'm happy with, then you need to do two things. You need to change it and get to a weight, your fighting weight, that you feel good about. You feel good about. And number two, you need to keep your mouth shut because your husband absolutely, positively does not want to hear it, and neither does anyone else. And I'm writing this down, and I'm going to listen to this message for myself because I, Donna Partow, am the worst. The worst. And I have absolutely been guilty of this. I was convicted and in tears because I'm terrible with this. Oh, I hate my thighs. Oh, I look at my arms and say, I hate this. I hate that. I hate this. Hate the other. Oh, I can't fit anything. Complain, complain, complain. Listen, number one, Donna, if you're not happy with your weight and you're not at your fighting weight, then roll up your sleeves and God will give you the grace to get to your fighting weight. But meanwhile, be quiet. Talk to God about it. But don't complain to your kids. Don't complain to your spouse. Don't complain to your girlfriends. Oh, I hate the way I look. Don't I look fat? Don't I look terrible? It's a big joke. The woman says to her husband, does this dress make me look fat? And the guy's thinking, it's not the dress. This is what the book said. It was written by a woman named Shanti Felden, who literally spent, I'm sure, $1,000 commissioning a nationwide scientific study of men and how they feel about their wives, what they like and what they don't like. Scientific study. And one of the things she found in this scientific research conducted surveys among men. Number one, men care very much how their wives look. Men care how their wives look. They believe that your appearance is a direct reflection on them. He was, well, that's stupid. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm telling you the findings of scientific research. When men were asked anonymously, not with their wife sitting next to them, but in an anonymous survey, and they were 80-90% of men said, I really do care how my wife looks. And men feel that it is a reflection on them. If a wife does not take care of herself. And again, what is the measure of taking care of yourself? I would say it being pretty close to the body mass index, pretty close, but it's a self-respect. It's not a specific size. It's self-respect. It's dressing nice. It's presenting yourself nicely. We all laugh at the 1950s women who had the A-line dress and the pearls and was cooking dinner. You know what? She was right. She had it right. And we've got it wrong. Men care. They want to come home to a woman who cares enough to have taken care of herself and has self-respect. Now, this is the other thing that the study found. Men are very competitive with one another. And when a man goes out with his wife and she's let herself go, that was the key phrase. She has let herself go. He feels like a failure and he feels less than the other men who have wives who take care of themselves and take pride in their personal appearance. Are you getting this? Men are always competing with other men. And the book even said this, when a man is out and with other couples and he sees a man who's, especially a man who's taking care of himself, and the man is there with a wife who is not taking care of herself, who has, quote, let herself go, he pities that man and thinks less of him. This is huge, sisters. This is a huge revelation. Something in my gut, like, kind of sensed this was true, but to actually see data, research that verifies it, I mean, blew me away. And I think I might be on a mission to tell Christian women this, because you know what? We don't know it. And you want to know why we don't know it? Get ready for this. The researchers also uncovered this little tidbit. The man will never tell his wife. He will never tell his wife how he really feels. I'm going to rephrase it. Almost never. I think it was like 90% of men said, it bothers me. I will never tell her. I will never tell her how much it bothers me. And so when you go, you know, the way, oh, honey, this lady, this crazy woman, Donna Partow says it bothers you that I've completely let myself go, don't take care of myself, dress like a slob, have gained all of this weight, and I'm completely unhealthy, I don't exercise, I don't eat right, I let myself go. That's what I'm taught. That's the key thing. Again, back to Jessica Simpson, she was a size 14. You know, she wasn't tiny anymore. She wasn't Daisy Duke's tiny. He still thought she was the hottest thing in two boots. Okay, so again, I'm not talking about super skinny, because men like a little bit of meat for the most part. I'm talking about letting yourself go. And men said, overwhelmingly, it bothers me. And they said overwhelmingly, I'll never admit it to her. So don't hang up the teleseminar and go ask your husband. And he'll say, oh, honey, that's silly. It doesn't bother me at all. And then email me and say, oh, my husband's the exception to the rule. It doesn't bother him at all. He will are you getting this? He will tell you till he's blue in the face, oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter. As long as you're happy, I'm happy. Underline that part of it. Because are you happy? No. This is revelation. This is revelation. When you let yourself go, you make your husband feel that he has failed. Because he feels deep in his heart of hearts that if he were the husband that you needed and wanted, that for him, you would want to take care of yourself. And we can disagree with it and we can say, well, those men are horrible. That they shouldn't feel that way. They shouldn't be that way. And you want to know how far that's going to get you? That's not going to get you from the kitchen to the laundry room. Should. I'm sharing with you some shocking data that I just came across. It's in a book called For Women Only. Don't go read it right now. I want you to stay on the 90-day renewal. Stay focused. But I'm telling you the findings. He'll never tell you how much it hurts him. But your husband is competitive, and he wants to be proud of his wife. And he also wants a woman he can live with. Tony Romo, I'm sure, was very proud of Jessica Simpson. Beautiful, gorgeous, fabulous. Had her up in the stands. But she drove him nuts at home because she wouldn't do something about it or make peace with her appearance. If you're not where you want to be, at a healthy range of the body mass index, you and you alone need to do something about it. You need to do it for your God. You need to do it for yourself. You need to do it for your children. You need to do it for your marriage. Now, here's the last piece of the puzzle. Are you ready for this one? This is amazing. I should have the exact statistics. I will post these on my website. I don't have them in front of me right now. I just have the notes that I wrote out. But she had the exact statistics. Again, it was a huge number. It was at least 70%, and it was probably 80% of the men surveyed said, I would pay any price, make any sacrifice. I would do anything to empower my wife to get to the place where she was taking care of herself and felt good about herself again. I would do anything because this is a competition for him. Going back to the first verse, he's like, he gets it that this is a fight, you know. He gets it. For men, it's always a football game. It's always a competition. And the competition for him is who can have a happy wife. Your husband wants to be the husband of a happy wife. And when he looks at you and sees a woman who's let herself go, or when he listens to you and hears a woman complaining that she's discontented with the way she looks, he feels like a failure, and he will do anything to be a winner again. Anything. And even for Tony Romo, he's like, I will do anything even if it means not giving her the engagement ring and calling the whole thing off. Because Tony Romo wants to be a winner, and Jessica Simpson made him feel like a failure. Why? Because she was not at peace with her weight. I'm telling you, this is huge, sisters. This is huge. And what that means is ask your husband to support you in this, and he will say yes. So many women, I've shared with women. I mean, I've had like 500 women look at the Isagenics program, which to me, right now, I think it is the best, absolute, the best weight loss facilitating program that you can get. I love the program. The healthy, the cleanse for life, the Ionic Supreme, their protein shakes. I love it. And I've had 500 women look at it and say, oh, that's too much money. I can't afford that. Your husband would sell his plasma, sisters. Your husband would take a second job. Your husband would sell his tool collection. Your husband would sell his boat. Your husband would walk to work in the rain without an umbrella. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Because to him, the greatest competition is to be the husband of a happy wife. And he does not want to fail at that. He does not want to fail at that. So ladies, let's get healthy and let's get happy. And let's be happy on the road to getting healthy. And let's ask our husbands. Let's go. Don't go to your husband and say, are you okay with the fact that I'm absolutely miserable the way I look right now? Sure, hon, whatever you say. Wah, wah, wah. No. Let's go to our husbands and say, darling, I have made a decision. I, more than anything else, want you to be the husband of a happy wife. That's what I want for you. Did you write that down? Let's go to our husbands and say, you know what, more than anything, I want to give you this gift. I want to give you the gift of waking up every day and going out to face that scary world with the knowledge that you are the husband of a happy wife. Could we take it further? You are the husband of a happy, healthy wife. There's no greater gift you could give him. No greater gift. And then say, honey, I'd love for you to partner with me in this. Because right now I'm not happy with where I am with my weight. And I'm not gonna speak a word of complaint about it. I'm gonna do something about it. And honey, it would really help me to become that wife, that happy wife, if you could just support me. This is what I'm gonna do. This is my game plan. And this is gonna end up being a two-part session because I'm on page one of four pages. So this is going to be continued. What can I tell you? I'm like not even halfway through the first page. But let's go to our husbands, if we have them. We're not all married. But let's go to our husbands and say, this is my game plan, honey. This is my mission. And I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for the children and for our grandchildren and for our great-grandchildren. And I'm doing this for you. And this is my game plan. And this is how I'm going to work it. And I'd love your support in some of these things. And, you know, you two can, don't ask him to be your girlfriend because he's not. Yeah. But, you know, maybe there are some things that he can do because men said in an anonymous survey, we'd do anything. We just want her to be healthy and happy. What diet works? Well, no diet works unless you do. Any diet works if you do. I personally, right now, love Isogenics. And I know we have some people in our group who are succeeding with it. I would just encourage you to look into that. Be serious about your 90-day renewal. Let me just review the eating plan on the 90-day renewal, and I think I'm going to have to end with that. I know that we're not all the way through, that the program builds incrementally, but here's basically what your day would look like. And you can get a good picture of it on page 285. First thing in the morning, start with a cleansing drink. Now, right now, I'm doing Isogenics as my cleansing drink. I take the Ionic Supreme and the Cleanse for Life. Included in the book, there are three other cleansing drinks that you can make for yourself. There's hot lemon water, and I've suggested you can add a little bit of grade B maple syrup and some cayenne pepper. You also have the cleansing drink, the cranberry, the unsweetened cranberry juice, mixed with cold water. You can throw in some ground flaxseed or psyllium husk. That's a good cleansing drink. I also included in it the apple cider vinegar, Bragg's. Only brand I recommend, Bragg's. Apple cider vinegar. Mix that with some locally cultivated honey. But choose one of those cleansing drinks and start your day with it. Absolutely, number one that I recommend is the Cleanse for Life and Ionic Supreme from Isogenics. And first thing in the morning, take your daily supplements. I no longer recommend a multivitamin. I recommend an omega oil. Again, I take the Isogenics now, and a whole food supplement. I do like Juice Plus. I do Isofruits and Isogreens. So rather than a vitamin, those are the supplements that I do. You can also do, there's also a C vitamin product that they offer. And then for breakfast, you should either do a protein shake with some berries or two eggs. Again, for the protein shake, I'm going to recommend Isogenics because it's the best I've found. They make it with whey protein, and the whey comes from cows raised in New Zealand, grass-fed. And that's how serious they are about having it a quality protein. And I throw in frozen cranberries and frozen blueberries. And I throw that into my protein shake. I also add in, that's where I add in my Isofruits to that. Or you can have two eggs and mix that in with your vegetables, your broccoli, your onion, your garlic. Cook it in the olive oil. You know, I've been teaching on this all along, and you're learning, and we're adding those to the diets. And then mid-morning, whatever you didn't have for breakfast, have mid-morning. In other words, if you had the shake for breakfast, then mid-morning, have two eggs. It might be better to start with two eggs and then do like a shake mid-morning. But either way, and mix in with your eggs, cook it in the olive oil, add the garlic, add the onions, add the broccoli, and get your vegetables at that time. Then for lunch, you'll have some greens. I love spinach. That's my favorite. Make sure it's a dark, leafy green. You can add some cucumbers, some peppers, some onion, and maybe a palm size of protein for your lunch. And then mid-afternoon, I recommend that you have a small piece of fruit and some lean protein. You might have, for example, you might have an apple with some almond butter on it. So a small piece of fruit and a lean protein. And then for dinner, again, you'll have a lean protein with some steamed or stir-fried vegetables and maybe a healthy starch if you like. Then 3 hours before you go to bed, stop eating. This is so key. 3 hours before you go to bed, stop eating and have a cleansing drink. Again, I personally have, and again, a little bit more of the Isagenics Ionic Supreme and Cleanse for Life. I mix that up with ice water. Alternatively, you might have your lemon water, the hot lemon water that we talked about. Don't add the cayenne pepper or maple syrup. No, no, no. It'll keep you up. But you could have the warm lemon water, or at night, again, you could do that cranberry juice with the psyllium or the and the flax. So have a cleansing drink. Brush your teeth, and then don't eat any more. You might want to go for a walk, like after dinner. So that is a complete eating plan. And I think it's really key to write down your eating plan and then keep track of it. One of the most powerful things that you can do is keep a food log and have two columns. Have this is what I plan to eat, and then this is what I actually eat. Plan versus actual. And then write down what you're eating. But I think that that's real. Both of those components are powerful. Having a plan of what you're going to eat that day, and then working that plan and recording your actual. Very, very powerful. Have a plan and then plan ahead. Cook ahead, prepare ahead, have healthy meals. One great thing to do in the weekend, make a big pot of cabbage soup or some other vegetable soup and then put it in serving size portions in Tupperwares or freezer bags or whatever. Put it in the refrigerator, put it in the freezer, and then you're ready. You've got your soup, especially, you know, if you've got like a little vegetable soup and you put in some lean beef or some chicken or, you know, whatever, then you've got it. And you take that out for lunch, even if you're at the office, you throw that in the microwave, and maybe you've got a salad. But even with a soup, you'll have everything, your vegetables, your lean meat, and you're good to go. Well, I know this was intense. I might get email, I don't know. But this is what God's been showing me in my own life. And I wanted to share it with you. I know that this is very, very challenging. I'm going to continue part two. I'm going to get more. I'm going to get into page 2 and 3, which is the practical side. And I'm actually going to put together my A to Z list of tips for weight loss. But again, sisters, any program really will work once you get your why to in place, once you get your motivation. And I know that I was tough today. Maybe next week I'll do an upbeat motivation. But today I gave you kind of the, I'm from New Jersey. What can I tell you? Let me close in prayer. Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, I do thank you for what you've been speaking into my life. It's challenging. I know that you are really, really stretching me in these areas. Lord, that we need to be healthy and we need to be happy, that we need to reach a place in our body, in our spirit, soul, and body, where we are content, where we have peace, and we have joy about who we are, how we are, and what we're doing in our lives. That's what you want for us, God. And Lord, I just pray that the words that I've spoken, the things that I've shared, Lord, that they will hit the mark. Lord, if there's anything that I've shared that was not from you, I just pray that it would be covered under the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, anything that I've shared that is what you've been speaking to me because you wanted to speak it through me, I pray that your Holy Spirit will empower and energize and give grace to the hearer that they can walk out the conviction. Lord, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But Lord, there is a place for conviction of sin. And there is a place where we know that the Spirit is calling us to come up higher and to move towards the mark of the high call of God upon our lives, that we would walk holy and that we would walk devoted to you. And so God, I just pray that you would use this message, certainly not to condemn your people, but to convict them of sin and to call them up higher, to get in alignment with all that you have for them. And I ask that in the name of our King Jesus. Amen.